This is the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast with Neil Schaefer, where I help sales and marketing professionals, entrepreneurs, and small business owners build, leverage, and monetize their influence in digital and social media. This is Neil Schaefer, and welcome to episode number 158 of the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast. Sorry for the slight delay between this episode and my last one. Still trying in many ways to recover from the void that is now in my life, but doing my best to get revamped and to keep going forward on my mission. And I know that that is what my father would have wanted as well. So today we are going to talk about how human writing and AI content creation will help you scale your digital influence. When we talk about maximizing our social influence, there are a few different types of content mediums that we have to play with. We have audio, which is this podcast, actually. Even audio has some text components to it in terms of the show notes, right? Or if we want to repurpose this into a blog post, we have video, but even video has some text in terms of the title and the description we use on YouTube, as well as if we use that inside a blog post. And then we obviously have text, which is a blog post, a website, what have you, or a book. So there are many, many different reasons why writing is so critical to what you do if you want to yield more influence for yourself or for your business in social media. So today's episode is a special interview with Kate Bradley Chemis. Man, I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right. She is the co-founder and CEO of the social media tool Lately. She is a friend, a really awesome person, and I think you're really going to enjoy this interview where we talk about a number of things. Obviously, the importance of writing. It might just be the most important skill in your toolkit as a marketer. We look at, you know, no matter what sort of social selling, social media marketing management, or analytic tools you're using, you can't polish a turd, in Kate's words. So if you start out with a bad input, you're always going to get bad output. And then we're going to look at how AI and humans must work together. And this episode covers a lot of AI because Lately is a tool that actually is at the forefront of leveraging artificial intelligence to help you create more content or to repurpose your content so that you can share it more and more on social media. So I think you're really going to love this episode. Before we start, a reminder that this podcast is currently being sponsored by The Age of Influence, my new book, which has now been out for about 2 months. I want to thank everybody that's already picked up a copy, and the reviews have started to really come flowing in on Amazon. I want to give a special shout out to some of those that have already reviewed the book on Amazon, Tim Hughes. Tim is a thought leader in social selling. He is also a co-instructor with me in the Rutgers Business School Social Selling in a Digital World Executive Education Program. If you are into sales, you must follow Tim Hughes and you must buy his book on social selling as well. So Tim's review actually starts out with, full disclosure, just be aware that I was a part of a program that Neil Schaefer produced at Rutgers Business School. Well, I gave you that disclaimer as well. Unknowing Neil, I purchased a copy of The Age of Influence as soon as it appeared on Amazon. Neil has been in the influencer marketing space as long as I can remember, and being an influencer himself, he can speak from both the brand side and the influencer side. In this book, he does both. So what is the book like? Neil gives a great background to influencer marketing basics. From what it means from both the business to consumer and business to business point of view, he describes how social media has changed society and changed the world of business. He then goes on to describe how you can create your own influencer marketing campaign, from working out which influencers to target, how to contact them, how to work with them, and how you should measure the influencer program. For me, the important point that Neil gets across is that through the whole process, the influencer, if they are any good, will be in charge. If you think that an advert will be created and put through an influencer's network, that isn't influencer marketing. That's advertising. He finished up with explaining how you can become an influencer. If you're in marketing, thinking about influencer marketing, or any to be an influencer, it's well worth a read. Thank you so much, Timothy. I hope that on the next episode, I'll be able to read your review here. So without further ado, let's get on to the interview with Kate from Lately. Hey, everybody. This is Neil Schaefer. Welcome to another episode of the Maximize Your Social Influence podcast. Should we call this the special coronavirus episode? I don't think so. people, life goes on, okay? We're going to get through this. So I'm not going to put out a blog post saying how to survive this pandemic because that's not my expertise, right? But what I am good at is finding great people out there to interview and bring on this podcast to help you build, leverage, and monetize your influence. And today, we are going to be talking about content. We're going to be talking, obviously, with content, you have to do writing. And we're also going to be talking about artificial intelligence, or AI as it's commonly known, and how all these things together can help you yield more influence in digital and social media. So today, I have a very special guest. If I had a drum, snare drum sitting in front of me, I'd do a drum roll right now. But we have the amazing Kate Bradley Chernis, the CEO and founder of Lately. Kate, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you. That's an amazing introduction, Neil, and I'll do my best to live up to it. So hold on to your seatbelts, people.
Yep. This is going to be a wild ride.
Here we go.
So I've known Kate for a while. Now, Lately is a social media tool, a content marketing tool. We can put a lot of labels on it, but I'm going to have Kate introduce what Lately is herself. To give you an introduction, there's lots of different tools out there, right? So you have like your general social media dashboards, like a Hootsuite or an Agora Pulse or, you know, what have you. But then you have platforms that really help you from the content publishing side. Mm-hmm. And these are things that you might be using a Hootsuite or, you know, what have you, but you might not be using these other auxiliary types of tools that can really help you amplify your influence in social. So Lately represents one of those types of tools. We're going to talk a little bit more about the tool itself. We're going to get into, you know, other things, but, you know, before I go on, Kate, can you just give a brief introduction of yourself and Lately so that people can better frame our conversation going forward?
Yeah, sure. So I'll start with Lately and then me, because that's maybe, you know, a more wilder ride. But one thing, in fact, that we've learned about Lately, and we learn regularly, as I know many small businesses and entrepreneurs do, is that the way that we define it actually evolves on a regular basis because we're listening to how our customers are constantly defining us. So in the last few months, we learned that we're bigger than we are, Neil. Like, I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but many people kept saying to me, I don't think you understand how big this is. And I'm like, well, maybe I don't. What do you think it is? And so what we've learned to describe Lately now is as an AI content writing tool that writes social media messages for sales and marketing teams. And what it does is it actually learns what content your customers want to read, and then it creates it for you. It builds a writing model for you, right, to your point. So there's a lot of different kinds of marketing tools out there that will manage your content or maybe help you manage your analytics. But if you don't have something from the beginning that's actually creating content that works, like, you can't polish a turd, as they say, right?
So,
So like, that's the point, is to get you started with the best possible content and using AI to help you do that. So and writing it, not just recommending, but actually doing the writing for you.
And Kate, correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, I talked to someone yesterday. I was actually on his podcast. He has like 500 episodes.
He's awesome.
Streaming content, but he's not leveraging the content. So I assume the more, whether it's blog posts, whether it's podcasts, whether it's YouTube videos, the more content that you have, the more, you know, exponential value that your tool has, correct?
Yeah. So what Lately does is it actually goes back when you create an account, it goes and learns everything you've done for the last year, everything you've published, it examines it, and it looks for the highest engaging content that you've created. And then it builds its writing model based on that. And then it helps you upcycle whatever long form content you have. So whether it's a blog, whether it's a podcast like this, a webinar, you literally put it into our AI, push a button, and the AI will instantly produce like 30, 40, 60 social posts based on the writing model it has. And so the idea is to make like mini movie trailers out of your long form content, pushing people towards it with like a teaser, right? Because otherwise, this just collects dust. You and I are working really hard to make some valuable content here for half an hour. Then you're going to go fiddle with it for another half an hour or more. And then you have to think of how you're going to promote it, right? And you're a human. And so chances are, but you're a top quality human here in marketing. So maybe you'll come up with, let's say, 10, 15 messages, right, to promote it. Whereas Lately could do literally 60 in 1.8 seconds.
All right. That's really powerful. But I think
I'm telling you too, Neil. Sorry.
No,
I think that, you know, let's take a step back, because I think after we discuss some of these issues about writing and content and AI, I think it makes the potential for everybody listening here, I think it makes it even more powerful. So let's, you mentioned that you cannot, what did you say? You cannot shine a turd?
Yeah, you can't polish a turd. This is...
So
I'm so tactful.
Let's start with writing, right? And I suppose that, you know, when I talk about content creation, and if you want to yield influence, you need content, right? So it's either going to be audio, video, or text. And even if it's audio or video, you're probably going to have a transcript made and then it becomes text, right? So based on that, you know, writing, would you say it is the most important toolkit? And let me correct.
Yeah, I would actually.
The most important skill in your toolkit if you are in marketing or sales, or you're an entrepreneur, or you're a small business owner.
Absolutely. I mean, so I was a fiction writing major in school. I don't know.
No way.
What up, fellow English majors, if you're listening? Remember, people told us we'd have no jobs. Like, you could be a teacher or a writer. Good luck. Turns out, like, we're the most important people around these days, which is amazing. And it's because people hate writing. Or they're very bad at it. And even this goes not just to regular people, but to marketers as well, right? And so honing that particular toolkit. So think about it like this. You and I, all of us, have to get what's in our heads through the screen or a piece of paper sometimes into the other head, right? And how can we do that best? And so what we find is that people constantly skip many steps. And so the way that they're understood on the other side is you know, poorly. And let me give you some examples of how bad it is, really. So right now, companies waste upwards of $4 billion due to poor writing. So it's not just about how bad you might be communicating something to your customers, for example, but also internally, right? So if I can understand what your email says, and we're having all this go back and forth, just about what time the meeting is supposed to be at, for example, then like that wastes so much time. Or if you have engineers that like speak a different language than your product team or your, you know, sales team, and no one is really understanding each other. So that's a huge reason. And so we find that companies are then spending $3.1 million a year just teaching remedial writing courses.
Wow.
I mean, this is 101 stuff, right? So actually, Neil, like I actually made a list for my internal team on writing for each other, because they were driving me up a freaking wall. And like, so I have this thing, my team calls me Kately. I'm Kately from Lately. So they're called Kately's writing tips, Kately's writing rules. And here's one of them, for example, which is avoid the phrase check out as a call to action, because check out means nothing. It's vapid, it's lazy, it's a verb that has no actual meaning, right? So pick a verb that has meaning, which is, you know, have your mind blown, or even just read and learn, like some more effective call to action. Verbs are your friends. They're there for a reason, to really, you know, cut through the chase, right? So really just taking a second to think about what you're writing, and then understand who you're writing it to. Like, I mean, I'm going off a little bit, so sorry, but like it's a whole psychological thing here. My job is to get you to do what I want you to do. Period. Whether it's through writing, whether it's through this podcast or whatever it is. And so you constantly need to think about that objective and the audience you're talking to. So the way that, like, if I'm trying to get my husband to do a chore for me, it's going to be a little bit different than the way I'm telling my sales team to meet their numbers this month. Maybe I might turn on my radio voice and try to charm both of them, right? So you get the point.
Yeah. And I mean, it's interesting because a lot of what you talk about, there's a lot of classes in like blogging or in content marketing that will say the same thing, like just a study in blog post titles. Make sure you use power words, right? Make sure you use, you know, certain adjectives instead of saying, you know, the top tools, say the top mind blowing tools or things of that sort. So it's and also instead of saying check out, download here, sign up here, be more specific. And it's funny because like today, so I get pitched often like as an influencer, right? So one company pitched me and it's this long email and I wrote them back saying, number one, thank you for your interest in working with me. I'm honored. Number two, can you please explain what exactly you want me to do? And number three, what is the incentive for me to do that? I literally don't like that. That time wasted, and now they're going to have to write an additional email, right? And exactly. That time wasted leads to extreme inefficiency, and it sort of leaves a bad taste in your mouth as well. So
if that was
not one-to-one, but one-to-many over social or digital media. And I think that gets the point you're talking about, right?
Yeah, totally. And you know, one of the things, I mean, we're doing a podcast, and you know this about me, but your listeners don't. So in my other life, I was a rock and roll DJ, broadcasting to 20 million listeners a day for XM and elsewhere. And so I'm really into the theater of the mind. And there's a parallel layer with writing as well. Like, so writing, like audio, requires you, the human, to intervene and have some imagination, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why they're very, very powerful mediums, but that's why they could also be confusing mediums, because there's that component that has to happen in there. So one of the things I think a lot about when I'm writing is, you know, what is so powerful about the theater of the mind, and why is it your listeners trust you right now, right? So you've built this trust with them. And what are some tricks that I learned from radio that I can take into writing? So one of them is silence.
Yes.
Because what happens when you're silent?
You actually stop and listen.
Mm-hmm. People turn it up, right?
I try that when I speak as well on stage, try to have those silent gaps.
Yeah. And so how can you do that visually in your writing, right? Is it literally leaving space? Is it making short sentences and then long sentences? Is it using capital letters all to describe something? Like, what's your visual kind of space happening? And what this does is it can communicate emphasis, of course, but one of the number one things problems that people have in writing and marketing and sales in general is communicating that persona, that voice, right? That I hate the phrase storytelling, that makes me want to just cut my head off, but that's what storytelling is really about. It's about like making sure that somebody cares at all what you're saying. And the way to get them to care is to be human and to inject that personality and persona in it. And a great way to do that is to think about how things look on the page, because it's like eating. You eat with your eyes, you read with your eyes. Same kind of deal, right? So one of the things I like to do a lot is, and I'm sure you do this, is I read what I write out loud before I write it, right? So because I'm an audio person, so I'm hearing. How are you going to hear this? Because you do read it in your mind out loud. Everybody does, right? And so I'm constantly thinking, like, what's that sounding like to you? When you do that, what's great is you'll instantly start tripping over your own words, because those words are not natural for you to say, and then they're not natural for someone else to read. So when that happens, it's a quick cue for you to be like, oh, okay, this is going to not work out. Like, it's anybody can run that test on themselves.
Yeah, kid, it's so funny. I do that with my kids. You know, my kids now, they're seventh grade, ninth grade, but especially like in the early years when they're like, Daddy, can you tell me, you know, what do you think about my essay? And there's tons of grammatical errors, right? Mm-hmm. I'll say, dude, read it out loud to yourself. If it doesn't sound natural, you got a problem. And often that's a killer way of just improving, you know, what you write. And that could be used for blogs and stuff. Because what we're getting at here is in 2020, content is a freaking commodity. It's everywhere, right? So if you really want to resonate with your audience, that tone and voice is critical, but just making sure that your writing is powerful in a way that conveys the message the way that you want it to be conveyed is something that you really can't take for granted. And that can really, if you're trying to yield influence for your business, that can really make it or break it. So on that note, and by the way, no, you did not tune in to maximize your English. I know we all feel like we're back in English class here, Kaylee, I should say, but this is all good because these are critical, what I would call infrastructure skills, because content is the currency of digital media. You cannot yield influence without content digitally. And if there's anything that's going to come out of this pandemic, it's that we're going to be doing more digitally, definitely for the short term, but I believe for the long term. And I believe that companies are going to shift even more of their budget to digital. Okay. I've never met Kate, but we have this great rapport from the conversations that we've had and from the messages that we've had between each other. But as I mentioned with that other company trying to pitch me, it can also go the other way. So with this in mind, right, I want to get back to, so we talked about the critical importance of writing. Let's take it now. How does AI potentially fix, if we weren't born great writers, and let's say we outsource some of that writing, right? And we find a great writer. Okay. So whether it's someone else, how does AI help fix potential issues with our writing?
Yeah, so great point, right? So a couple of things, probably as people were listening to us talk about some writing tips, they might have been already feeling overwhelmed because it is overwhelming if it's not your natural skill. And that's understandable. So the way we use AI is to work in tandem with the human. So humans have the potential to be great writers. AI does some amazing stuff automatically, and both are great on their own. But together, that's when you get the exponential magic. So at Lately, we use our AI to start you at third base, so to remove the fear of the blank page, because that alone is like this paralyzing thing for everybody. When it's taking this podcast, for example, and turning it into social posts, and it's pulling together what it believes are going to be the best quotes from you, what you and I are talking about, mm-hmm. it then gives you the option to pop in and edit them as well. And at the same time, there's an engine that starts to recommend to you phrases and keywords that is learning what your audience resonates with, what resonates with them. So there's two things happening. Like, it's setting you up with what it believes is going to work, but it's also prodding you, the human, to like use your own instinct and intuition and whatever else you know to kind of help it along. The reason that we need AI to do this is because, number one, it's learning what people want to read and recommending that back to you. But number two, it helps you scale, right? So you and I could write all day and we can't be everywhere all at once. It's impossible, right? Especially these days, because you do need to be on so many channels just to make an impact. I'm going to answer your question in a back-ending way, but just sure. For folks to understand this point more succinctly. So there's an old marketing adage that goes, if you're not marketing, you're winking in the dark. So everybody just wink for a second and imagine what that's like in your closet and no one can see you, right? There's no pun on the joke there. So you don't want to be winking in the dark. Now, these days, if you're broadcasting once a day on, for example, on Twitter, no one is reading that. That's like you're winking in the dark. It's pointless, right? So you have to have multiple messages. You really 10 or 20 a day. Like, you need to have a lot because of the chances of when are people going to be passing by. Radio is the same way. For those of old people like me who listen to radio, like you, we would play you the same song 300 times a week just to hope that you would hear it once, right? So what the AI does is, what our AI does is, it pulls together, let's say, 30 different messages. So different unique kinds of messages, all driving traffic back to the same place, so that you have 30 different access points, because people respond to different things. And also then it's not annoying because it's not the same thing over and over again. And then we recommend that you schedule those posts out over time. So like, I'm a big believer, Neil, in planning, in planning ahead, and that social does not have to be immediate at all.
Of course.
Of course, right? And planning ahead in a way, though, that feels immediate, right? So like when I was at XM, we would record shows weeks in advance, but leave in all kinds of mistakes so it would sound live, right? Because that's the only way we could possibly scale our human selves. And it's the same thing here, right? So you, and we all know this idea of scheduling in advance, but I think people still don't understand like what evergreen means. So evergreen doesn't mean the exact same message over and over again. It just means an idea that's still fresh when I Google it 2 years from now, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you write a blog post that says the best something tactics for 2018, because you published it in January 2018, guess what? A few months later, Google stopped serving that up because people are already searching for 2019. So that's a great example. But if you were to leave the 2018 out of it, or if you were to put a reminder that deletes it out 90 days later, that then becomes evergreen forever.
Yeah, exactly.
One example. Yeah. So, and you bring up a lot of great points. I think, Kate, that's how like we hit it off when I was on your podcast or live stream. You know, my DJ experience is like at Amherst College, 89.3, you know, the Chip and Neil show from 5 to 8 in the morning, where I am proud to say that when the Joshua Tree came out, I literally played the entire CD
awesome.
Over the air for 45 minutes. Everybody could tape it. But I said this in social media marketing world like 5 or 6 years ago when I talked about Twitter. You need to tweet like a DJ, right? And the radio station analogy is really powerful because radio stations have ads, but they have a ton more content in between those ads that you listen. And then when you hear the ad, you're more tempted, you know, you're going to keep listening to the ad, knowing that there's more great content after that. And that's really, you know, you can't just hit people over the head with your promos all the time. You need to intermix it with content and a lot of content. And that's where, you know, the AI, using a tool like Lately, that AI really kicks in, not just to become the daddy that corrects your English, which is what you were talking about, but also of making variations of that content. And that's something that I struggle with as well. I know I have not been, hopefully after this podcast, I'm going to take another deep dive into Lately, but I know the Lately users are not just, they may be repeating a tweet, say once a month, but they're repeating it with unique language, not the same kind of the blog post. And I fall, you know, I'm a victim of that as well. A lot of people listening probably aren't even there yet. They haven't even queued their content yet, up yet, which is why looking at a tool like Lately makes it even more powerful to scale from the get-go. But let me ask you something. You said something very controversial in our emails back and forth about what we were going to talk about today. And you said, quote, "It's time to throw out the lead generation playbook, how AI content creation is upending the status quo," end quote. So let's move on to that subject. So I think we've gone through the writing and how the AI serves the purpose of scaling as well as improving the quality of your writing through its recommendations. And, you know, AI doesn't lie, right? Assuming that the smart people Lately set it up correctly, which I assume you did. So tell me about how AI content creation is time to throw out the lead generation playbook. Tell me about the thought there.
Yeah, thanks for the softball. So a couple of things. So we decided about a year and a half ago to like really put our money where our mouth is at Lately and to full on go into organic social marketing, which is what we believe in, to market ourselves. So I stopped all of my paid ads, and I also stopped the typical sales funnel, right? So in my world, in SaaS startup world, the idea is you get an SDR who makes a bunch of cold calls and sends cold emails for you, and then you move them through the funnel that way. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm on the receiving end of those calls and emails, and I hate them.
Block, block, block.
Forget it. So I was like, why are we doing this? And so I was actually meeting with Gary Vaynerchuk, and he was sharing an idea that he had. And I was like, oh my God, I can apply this to Lately. And what we do now is, so I don't have time to create any content because I'm too busy, but I get a lot of inbound. So I'll get podcasts like this or other interviews. So I'm going to take this podcast that we've done. I'm going to run it through the auto generator. It's going to give me 60 or social posts. I'm going to pretty them up, add my special human touch with, you know, whatever little extra stuff I want to do there. And then I'm going to take them, and I'm probably going to schedule them to run like maybe every few days over time, over different channels. And I'm going to tag you in them sporadically so that you'll reshare them, but not too often, so you're not annoyed. And what we do is we start to look for people who are liking, commenting, or sharing on our content. And we consider them to be leads. We consider them to be warm leads because they know us. And then we create conversations and we push them into DMs, and then we convert them at a rate of 50%.
Wow.
Right? But the leads are warm.
Right. But it, you know, in social media, I suppose you're going to have content creators that the sole objective of engaging with that content is just to curate it, but not necessarily wanting to do business with you. I think that 50% that you weed out.
Yeah. I mean, so it takes a salesperson just as much time to analyze if a cold lead is qualified versus a warm lead. Right. So they have a list of qualifications that our customers have to meet. You know, what we're doing is we're also able to do this at scale. So here's the other part there. So it's not just our branded channels where we publish our content. All of my employees participate in employee advocacy on our behalf as well. And so this is the engine that we've also built at Lately, where, and this is a little bit for bigger companies, but just think about what network do you have in front of you, right? Your network is always your most important thing. Whenever you leave a company, bring that Rolodex with you, right? Does anyone know what a Rolodex is anymore? But and so I've looked at a lot over the years when I had my marketing agency of helping small businesses access larger networks that had, you know, better access to customers. Yeah. And let me give you some examples of what those might be. So number one, they're your employees. Your employees are your best, most trusted voice. They work for the company. They have the inside scoop. Friends, family, customers are going to listen to them more than anyone. If your customers don't like where they're working, you or your employees, you have another problem. But like, let's assume they love you and they want to champion you. So that's your best asset. Number two, you also have your current customers, right? That's a network you have built in. You want to leverage their voice. You could also have channel partnerships. So a lot of companies are set up like that. Other networks could include sales teams, right? So a sales team is a different kind of network. You might also be a franchise. So if you're a gym with 5 locations or a bank with 200 locations, or here's a great example that I love, which won't apply to COVID time, but let's say you're a little town and you have a First Friday where like everybody, all the little stores do something every Friday together. There's a network, right? So you have to really try to think what these networks are. At Lately, you can take Lately accounts and stack them together, like in a bicycle spoke. So there's one, say, mother account and say 10 children. Maybe the children are my employees, for example. So I'm the mother. I can create content, push them out to my children accounts, and my children can opt to publish it, to make it their own, or not to publish it. It doesn't really matter, but I've given it to them. I didn't email it to them. Remember the old way? Yep. And I could also use the AI to learn when certain networks publish on your behalf, like who's doing it better. And I can take those learnings and translate it. So that's a little bit hard to describe.
And I think listeners of this podcast know that I refer to employee advocacy as an employee as influencer program.
We
talked about those are, instead of going out and try to buy people on Instagram, those are your influencers. And anyone that has read The Age of Influence, I go into detail about that concept. So 100% agree with you, Kate. So basically your tool, which is really interesting because I hear LinkedIn either pulled or is pulling the plug on Elevate, which was their employee advocacy tool. So you have, in addition to all the great things your tool has, you also have that employee advocacy functionality built in. Is that correct?
Yeah, because once the AI is creating awesome social posts for you, you want to do as much as humanly possible with them, right? Or as much as robotically possible.
I love, I know we're going to go a little bit off and I'm also cognizant of time, but for someone that has met Gary Vaynerchuk personally, you're one of a few people of probably millions that would love to meet him. Can you describe Gary Vaynerchuk in real life compared to
the same guy
that's on stage that we see on YouTube videos or?
He is, but he's very, very kind, very, very kind and patient. I was struck with how attention he was to each person, I don't even do that. I wish that in his own social, they showed him to be like just more of a real person, because he is. He's just really focused, kind, and genuine. I've met him twice, actually. I met him at South by Southwest about 15 years ago, which he remembered when I met him again this summer, which I thought was pretty cool, actually. And he actually started talking about just how we met, by the way. So like on LinkedIn, he posted one day, I wish there was some AI tool that would take all my long form content and turn it into 40 social posts. And I was like, imagine this girl right here. So that's how we got them involved. And it's been really interesting just learning from them. So you guys know that Gary does what we all want to do, but he's able to do it because he has a massive engine of people that do it for him, right?
And so lately, he's a lot for advertising as well.
Yeah, for sure. And so lately actually gives you and me the ability to do what Gary does, but for like way less with an army of one,
And that should be the title of this podcast right there. Right. That's really powerful. So there were a few other things we wanted to talk about. I just want to make sure that the listeners get the most of our time together in the content. So there's going to be some people that are like, dude, AI, not cool. AI is taking my job. Or, how can I trust AI technology? I co-wrote a book on how AI is going to revolutionize the influencer marketing industry in a good way of finding fakes and what have you. So based on your perspective, you told me that it's a 1+1=3 equation. Can you give the listener a little bit more, background or perspective on AI and why it's not something to be afraid of, not something that's going to take our job. It's actually going to make our jobs even better.
Yeah, you and I are on the same page there, right? So with marketing, especially, marketing is a human affair. It's very emotional. You buy something from me because you like me or you like my product. You have this emotional reaction to it, right? And robots can't replicate that in spite of what we all, might see on TV or in movies, but that's not their job. It's the human's job. And it's the human's job to make the mistakes, right? Right. To be human is to err, as they say. And that is the turn it up. That is the, right. That's all those things. That non-predictable thing that makes us human. And so that's why it's the magic. It's the unspeakable, undescribable thing that takes you from third base to home plate. And so the power of those things coalescing is what we believe in. And it's really simple. That 1+1+3 equal equation is the thing. The tough part is, believe it or not, even though our AI, for example, does all this work, people still want it to do the rest. And I'm like, no, you don't. You guys can't be this lazy. You have to put some effort into everything you're doing, whether it's QuickBooks or writing a novel or an educational book or homework, like you said, or anything, So.
Right. And I think it's the point of you're going to spend 5 or 10 minutes crafting a tweet to give a preview of your blog post, for instance, but why don't you spend the same 5 or 10 minutes to go over 60 tweets? If you're, you know, it's just a much better, you still have to spend a little bit of time, but you're just going to get a much bigger bang for your buck. So I want to make sure we get through all the, there was one more. I know that you have something special to say about Netflix. So I want to speed up for you and hear what you have to say.
I love you. You're so good. Because I always forget this. So remember I was saying how we've been learning how to describe ourselves better over the last few months and over the last couple of years, of course. And so a customer described it this way, which was lately is like Netflix. So you watch Netflix, right, Neil?
Yep.
Yeah. So the way that Netflix learned what we all wanted to watch, and then it used that data to start recommending relevant content to us based on what it learned. And then it's used that data to now create original content, like The Crown, for example, which has become what it's most known for. So Netflix's most watched content now is its original content. And this is what Lately is doing as well. So we actually worked with Anheuser-Busch and InBev, and that's their global name. So, you know, Anheuser-Busch, the beer company, last summer to fast forward our roadmap where we ingested 10,000 pieces of content from one of their brands, one of their voices, and our AI brain was able to take that content in and then create original content from scratch from a theme we told it to talk about in the brand voice.
Wow.
Right? Which is pretty amazing. So we took that model now, and we've turned it on Lately because our customers, the number one question we get is, well, how do we do it like you do, Kate? We want to market, we want to write like you're writing for Lately. That's what we want to do. So I've written 40,000 pieces of content with my team over the last 4 years. We're taking this model and now putting it into our own brain so that we can recommend original content to all you guys based on what we're learning that your customers are responding to, right?
Now, is that original content, is that like, you know, these are things that you may want to create new content about, or is it actually writing
it for you?
Wow.
Yeah. So it's in private beta, but,
but of course, obviously, well, you're not going to publish as is that you need, but it's going to set it up so that it's going to make it a lot easier and more effective. And based on AI and data, it has a lot more chance of actually engaging with your audience is the main point there, right?
Yeah, exactly. And to help you, I mean, what people just want even more is the ideas. Our data shows that they like to do it. They actually like to, if they have the ideas, right? So it's like, I don't know if you guys know this, but remember when they had the cake mix, when cake mix first came out, like Duncan Hines, they actually had the eggs in there. They were powdered eggs. So all you had to do was add water and it didn't sell. So they removed the fake eggs, had it add eggs, and it sold like gangbusters because people want to feel like they're making the cake, right? So it's true. That's what I just need to figure out what our eggs are. You know, what's the exact kind of component there to get everybody feeling just enough comfortable, but not too uncomfortable, right?
That's really fascinating, Kate. This has been really great. I think we all struggle with lack of time and content creation, unfortunately, of everything we do. In order to yield influence, that's probably going to take up our most time. So you have a killer solution there. I really hope listeners will check it out. Kate, how can people find out? What's the best way they can check out Lately and as well as get in touch with you?
Yeah, so they can learn more about Lately and see a demo and have their mind blown and have their jaws dropped at trylately.com. Or you can just email me. I'm kate@trylately.com. And I'm so grateful to you, Neil. Thank you so much the last thing I want to say is women CEOs have a hard time. A lot of people know this. And I don't know if you guys all know this, but it's 2% of all venture funding comes my way. So I have to work 98% harder for it. And one of the ongoing things that happens is that women are often over mentored and under actually lifted up. And I know you're not doing this because I'm a woman today, but you are lifting me up today. And I am really grateful. Thank you.
Oh, Kate, you don't even have to say that. This is a natural. You're a great person. You have a great company. We've known each other a while. I think, you know, we have that that music. Obviously, you are much more embedded in music, but people that know me know that I really like music a lot and, you know, play the drums, and I'm a fanboy of some Japanese musicians on Instagram. Anyway, I won't get into the details.
You're cool.
You know,
when
I'm on my business trips, I try to catch concerts. So anyway, and that's, you know, that's, but at the end of the day, this, if you're listening to this podcast, that's the sort of connection you need to make with people, right? People remember you when you make that personal connection. And often that's based on mutual personal experiences. And if you don't bring those things out in your content, this is something that AI cannot teach you, right?
Yeah.
If you don't bring out, and you know, as a person, now, if you're a business, you know, Kate already talked about those networks that you have of other people. But the whole concept in the age of influence as well is that people rule social media. Mm-hmm. Brand logos do not, right? They have to take a side seat. So leverage as much as you can about you as a person or about the people inside your brand, and you're going to be much the better for that. And obviously, Kate and TryLately.com have a lot of great advice for us there. So, and this is not an advertisement by any way. There was no money being given to me to, you know, have Kate on this show. In full disclosure, I'm just a big fan of Kate and TryLately and just great technology that helps us scale, right, and yield more influence. So Kate, thank you so much. I know, and I'm not just saying this because it feels good to say it, but I know that I'm going to take another deeper look at Lately and hopefully become a heavier user in the near future. And I hope that all of you listening, if this fits your need, you check it out as well. So Kate, thanks again.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Kate and you found out more, not just about her, but also about Lately. Lately is a tool that used to have a price point that many SMBs could afford. It's clearly now at the enterprise level. So even if you can't afford the tool, though, I do think that what the tool is about and how Kate describes it really should give you some great ideas of things that you can implement to help you maximize your own social influence. So that's it. Just want to thank you all for listening to the end here. And I want to encourage you all not just to subscribe so that you don't miss out on all of our upcoming episodes. And we got some great interviews that have already been recorded that are going to be published soon. But also to ask you if you'd be kind enough and you found value in this podcast and you found it recommendable to others that you would consider writing a review on Apple Podcasts. It's funny because I've been doing this podcast since 2013, and I currently have more reviews from my Amazon book, which came out on March 17th of this year, compared to a podcast that has 158 episodes that came out in 2013. So I know from listening to other podcasters that very few people actually review podcasts for a lot of reasons. But if you've reviewed another podcast, I hope you'll take a few minutes. And if you've never reviewed a podcast, it's really easy to do. I hope you'll take a few minutes. If you need any help in the process, feel free to reach out to me and I'll create a tutorial for you. So that's another episode of Maximize Your Social Influence. Wherever you are in the world, stay safe, stay at home, and make it a great virtual social day. Bye-bye, everybody.